Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to continue on volume 14, 7, 10, 1922. Now, this is important. This is really good right after a big lunch. So we don't want to fall asleep. Okay, now it is necessary, listen to this, that you, Louisa, rise. Now this isn't just sitting up from your chair and carry you with you my life, my will, so that my will, my volition on earth and that of heaven may fuse together. Now listen to this. And you, Louisa, may live for some time in the womb of divinity. That means rise. That means go to heaven. You're going to stay in heaven. That's the womb of divinity, where your will shall be acting in mine in order to expand as much as possible as a creature can be capable of. So Louisa is now in God's image and likeness in heaven. And then it says, now you got to remember this. This is really important. And then you, Louisa, shall descend again upon earth. You know what that means? She coming back. That's what it means. She going to be back. Now, the interesting thing is this. This, I really honestly believe, is the miracle of Garabandal, the miracle of Medjugorje. It's Louisa coming. What did Our Lady say about Garabandal? And I know it's not approved because it can't be approved until the miracle. Okay, so don't be upset because it's not approved. Don't be upset that people are against it. That doesn't matter. When the miracle, what did Our Lady say? She says to Conchita, she says that it will be the greatest miracle that Jesus can, greatest and final miracle that Jesus is going to give to the world. So what could possibly be the greatest and final miracle is to see a soul who lives in the divine will on earth again. And what is, and I would think about it, in volume 24, Jesus says to Louisa, in volume 24, he says, the Jews will be converted, and then everybody, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, even the atheists will want to be baptized Catholics. Now, I can't say this publicly, so I won't. But when you read this, you, Louisa, shall descend again upon earth is astonishing. He says this numerous times to Louisa. Look at volume 6, I think it's February 12th, 1904. What does he say to Louisa? What does Louisa say? Louisa says, Jesus, if you take me to heaven, I promise, I swear I will return to teach the one who wants to live in the divine will. That's what she says. I promise, I swear. Yet that's a consecration. Look at what it says. If you want to get really turn people off, tell them Louisa's going to descend again upon earth. People are going to go, what? They don't even believe in the Blessed Mother. And you're talking about a human? They don't even believe, Our Lady is the mother and queen of the divine will. Our Lady is she's the mediatrix. She's a co-redemptrix of redemption, and people don't want to call her that. Oh, my goodness, when they hear what Jesus said to Louisa, he said to Louisa, Louisa, you are the redemptrix of my fiat. Which, what does that mean? You are the redemptrix of sanctification. What does that mean? That means the Holy Spirit is going to be given to the world through you, Louisa. That's what it means. And then he says to Louisa, doesn't that make you happy? But he's really saying it to us. Doesn't this make you happy who are reading the volumes? So when you hear this, he says, you're going to rise. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to stay in the womb of divinity. That's heaven. Where your will be acting in mind, one with God, in order to expand your will as much as a creature can possibly be capable of. And then you, Louisa, will descend again upon earth. What will you do when you descend upon earth? You will bring the power, you will bring the prodigies of my divine will to earth in such a way that souls shall be shaken, and they shall be open their eyes, and they shall know what it means to live in my divine will. And that means to live in my divine will is to live in the likeness of their God. That's what's coming. And this is a great paragraph to start right after, you know, we get a full meal, because you're not going to fall asleep after this. You, Louisa, shall descend again upon earth once you go to heaven. And you, Louisa, are going to bring the power, the divine power of God, the divine prodigies of my will, in such a way that souls will be shaken. Now, this is in the book of Revelation. The world will be shaken to its core. Now, when Louisa was little, I should say younger, when she was in bed, at first, Jesus said to Louisa, "Louisa, can I eat in your eating?" She was eating, and this is before Jesus told her to stop eating. And she says, "Yes, Lord, but don't let anybody know." And he goes, "Okay." So as soon as the food goes into her mouth, which goes into Jesus' mouth, this trumpet sound happened. And everybody in the town was shaken. And she says to Jesus, she says, "Jesus, I thought you weren't going to let anybody know." And Jesus says, "Wait till the trumpet sounds. And you, Louisa, you will shake the whole world." This is what Jesus told her before he said, "Stop eating." You will shake the whole world. And here again, here in volume 14, it says very clearly, all the creatures shall be shaken. This is not just a world. This is not just an earthquake. You, Louisa, will bring divine power and the divine prodigies of my will in such a way that souls will be shaken. And then they will open their eyes, and then they will know what it means to live in the divine will. Why? Because they will see Louisa, who is living in the likeness of God. So you haven't seen anything yet. And then when you read this, and again, if you whisper this to anybody, they're going to say you're out of your mind. This isn't going to happen. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. Well, I believe that Jesus dictated this to Louisa, and I believe that the word of God is true. There, these people that say no, your eyes are going to be opened, and you're going to know what it means to live in the divine will. You're going to see the one who lives in the likeness of God. Now, you can't tell anybody this. This is why I'm not going to say it publicly. You're going to be hated, ridiculed, mocked, spit upon, laughed at. I believe what Jesus said to Louisa. I really do. When I read these writings, I know Jesus is speaking. And he is saying it's necessary that Louisa die. It's necessary that Louisa go to heaven. Why? Because she's coming back. This is glorious. You have to understand, God knows us very well. And he says, "Well, what I'll do, even if somebody should rise from the dead, they're not going to believe it." Those are the words of Jesus. Some people are still going to say this is a joke. I don't believe it. I already believe it. And the people that I know who read this, they believe it too. This is what Jesus promises. And we are very close to seeing Louisa. This is why, get to know her now. Get to know her now. Because when she, as Jesus says, returns, when she descends. Now you have to remember. What did Jesus say to Louisa? "Everything that I possess, I give to you." What doesn't Louisa possess? Everything that Jesus has, she possesses. What doesn't Louisa possess? His return. She doesn't possess that. But Jesus says to her already, "You do possess it." He says, I see it already fulfilled. Well, for us, this should make us happy. Why do we love Louisa? I really can't tell you. Why do you love Louisa? I really can't tell you. Why do you love Louisa? Well, you won't believe me. Oh, why do you love Louisa? Because she's going to return. I don't believe you. I don't believe that. And you go, I told you. That's why I didn't want to tell you. What's coming is so mixed. See, you haven't seen anything yet. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus says, you will descend again upon earth? Who is she? She's our mama. She's our little mama, Louisa Picaretta. She is the mother of the second generation of the children of light. The first generation died. The first child born on earth killed his brother. That generation died. So Jesus says, I want the second generation of the children of light. And I want you, Louisa, to be the mother of it. And I want the little children of the holy divine will to be the little children of the holy divine will. Nope. Volume 14, 9, 11, 22. Now, the fulfillment of the work of creation was that Adam would do our will in everything. That's what he wanted. Our divine will was to be the life. Our divine will was to be the food. Our divine will was to be the crown of the creature. And since it is not yet so, the work of creation is not yet fulfilled. And neither can I, God, rest in the divine will, nor can creation rest in me. It gives me always something to do. And I yearn, I want this, God says, for the fulfillment and rest. This is why I love, this is why I so much want that the way of living in my holy divine will be known. How is it known? By reading the book of heaven, by studying the book of heaven. You're not going to know this if you're reading holy things, good things, and saintly things. And the only reason I like being a third order Benedictine of the divine will, is because I have the prayers of everybody with me. We're all praying, we're all working together. And this is why it is so glorious, because your call is going to be clearer. Why? See, the first religious life was started by Benedict. God has gone full circle. You have the Benedictines, you have the Dominicans, you have the Franciscans, you have the all throughout the 2,000 years. And now God has gone full circle back to Benedict as a Benedictine oblate of the divine will. And the promise that you give to Jesus is that you will read every day. So it's you're swearing to God, you're promising to God that you will read. Now, as you read, every one of the little children of the holy divine will who's reading, you are participating in that. Especially those who have dedicated their lives to reading the divine will. And that's the Benedictine oblates of the divine will. So great blessings will be given to you. So he says very, very clearly, I want the divine will to be your food. And we're going to look at this a little later. We just sent something out on Wednesday getting ready for the new liturgical year. And it's focused on the first bread. We're going to prove to Jesus Christ that we want this bread, this first bread, more than anything. More than anything. And as we begin to read, as we begin to study, as we begin to taste this food, that's what it is. You're masticating every word. You're tasting every word so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because Jesus says, I want to rest in you. I want you to rest in me. The seventh day was a day of rest. And when you read sacred scripture, there's no It's the evening of the first day, the morning of the second day. It always starts in the evening, the vigil. The evening of the second day, the morning of the third day. There's no morning or evening of the seventh day. It has not happened yet. This is why we have entered into the third millennium. Okay? That means there was four millennium before that. This is the seventh millennium. This is the seventh day. God has it perfectly planned. And why are we alive at this time? To begin to live and rest with God on the seventh day. How glorious this is going to be. And you can't think of it as sleeping. It's resting. Everything now is at our disposal. Everything that God wants is in our hands. So he says this. This is why I love so much and I want so much that the way of living in my divine will is known. Nor shall I ever be able to say that the work of creation or redemption are fulfilled if I do not have all the acts of the creature extending in my most holy divine will like a bed to give me rest. And I, God, what a beautiful rest. I shall not give to Louisa in seeing Louisa coming back on the wings of our will. And again, that's the prayer shawl of the Jewish father, the tillet, with the seal. This is the stamp of God of the fulfillment of creation. My womb shall be her bed. What does that mean? My heaven shall be her bed. See, we are going to live in the kingdom of God on earth as the saints now live it in heaven. But the difference is with a body. And the other difference is to continue to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will for all eternity, the never ending. It's to really to begin to live this life. Volume 15, 11, 28, 22. Now, what is your wonder if instead of manifesting the fruits of my divine will before, I have manifested them only to you, Louisa, after so many centuries? If the tree has not yet been formed, how could I make the first fruits known? All things go like this. If someone is to be made king, the king is not crowned before the kingdom, the army, the ministers, and the royal palace are formed. He is crowned at the very end. See, this is what's coming. It's a triple crown that God is for the little children of the holy divine will. And if anyone wanted to be crowned king without forming the kingdom, the army, etc., it would be a king for mockery. Now, my divine will was to be the crown of everything and the fulfillment of my glory on the part of souls, because only in my most holy divine will can the soul say, I have accomplished everything. You see why there's this rest. Everything is completed. There's no more work. There's no more toil. It's done. Do you see what Jesus is asking of us? He's really asking us to allow him to really begin a new era that the saints never heard of. The saints were taught to do the will of God. Jesus has taught Louisa how to live in the will of God. So he says, Volume 15, 4, 20, 23. The greater work that I, Jesus, want to do, the more I cover the soul with the appearance of the most ordinary things. Now, since the persons you mention are known people, and the divine jealousy could not maintain its watch, the divine shadow, oh, how hard it is to find it. See, what's happening here is they don't believe Louisa. This is what's going to happen to us. The persons you mentioned are known people, and the divine jealousy could not maintain its watch. The divine shadow, oh, how hard it is to find. See, this is so beautiful that God keeps it hidden. Louisa's been hidden. I mean, think about it. Her writings were enclosed in the Vatican for 58 years. And why? Jesus says, you don't want it. The people doesn't want this at this time. I'm going to give it to the people who will want it. And that's us. We want this gift. We want to live this gift. And how hard it is to find this divine shadow. It's so beautiful. It's light in darkness. And besides, I, God, choose whomever I please. It is established that two virgins must come to humanity's aid, one for the salvation of man, that's the Blessed Mother, and the other, Louisa, to make my divine will reign upon earth, to give man his terrestrial happiness on earth, to unite the two wills, the human and the divine, and to make them one so that the purpose for which Adam was created may have its complete fulfillment. I myself shall take care of making my way to make known what I, God, want. See, God's doing this. If you think you have the divine will, the book of heaven, because somebody gave it to you, that's wrong. Jesus gave you the book of heaven. I don't care who handed it to you. Jesus gave you this, whether you paid for it or not. He wants us to begin to live this truth, these truths. This is what God is asked. And so he says very clearly, I myself shall take care of making my way to make it known what I, God, want. And what I care about, most care about, is to have the first creature, Louisa, in whom to centralize my will. That now, it was in the Blessed Mother, but the Blessed Mother was not born of human, of original sin. Louisa was born of original sin. So he says, I most care about to have Louisa, the first person born of original sin, to whom is centralized in my will, that my will may have life in Louisa on earth as it does in heaven. The rest will come by itself. So once Louisa, everything is planned, everything is moving. It's all happening. This is why I always say to you, Louisa, your flight in my divine will. Okay, what is the flight? The flight is when you go flying. You get a ticket, you go into your plane, you go into your seat, and you sit, and you buckle up. That's what Jesus is asking. Go to your room, close the door, and pray. Buckle up and pray. This flight has to continue until we land. If you stop reading the divine will, basically you've jumped out of the plane. It ain't going to be pretty. So Jesus is asking you to continue your flight in the divine will. I've given you the book. I've given you the ticket. Now go to your room, close the door, and pray. Read. Buckle up. Read this. Study this. This is what Jesus is saying. Continue your flight in my divine will. Because the human will contains weaknesses, the human will contains passions, the human will contains miseries, which are veils that prevent one from entering into the eternal will of God. And if they are grave sins, they are barricades that form between one will and the other. And if my fiat on earth as it is in heaven does not reign upon earth, this is precisely what prevents it from doing so, and that is the human will, the human misery. So he says, as you read this, your human will melts. It just dissolves. He says very clearly, therefore, to you, Louisa, it is given to tear these veils. Now, what veil do you remember being torn? That's when Jesus died on the cross. The veil was torn. There was no more. We were not under the curse of Satan any longer. The blood of Jesus freed us from being separated from God. Now, he says, there's another veil that's being torn. You, Louisa, are going to knock down these barricades. Let's look at your life. What have you been fighting all your life? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. These are going to be gone. Jesus says, Louisa is going to do it for you. She's the first one who did it. If you are linked to Louisa, you will also be able to accomplish perfection. Jesus says, you must be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. This is what Jesus is asking for. To make all the human acts as though one single act by the power of my divine will, overwhelming them all and bringing them to the feet of my celestial Father, as though kissed and sealed by His very divine will. So that in seeing that one creature, Louisa, has covered the whole human family with His divine will, attracted and pleased, God the Father may let His divine will descend upon earth through Louisa, making the divine will reign on earth as it is in heaven. It hasn't happened yet. So those people that say they're living in the divine will, sorry, it hasn't happened yet. Louisa's going to do this. As Jesus, the Son of God, descended to earth through the Blessed Mother, the divine will is going to descend through Louisa, through the great power of the Holy Spirit. So all the Pentecostals, all the charismatics that are wanting this great gift of the divine will, it's happening. but they don't see who it's coming from. A lot of them I've talked to, well, I possess the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You do? Well, God bless you. You have a means to receive this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit through the newborn, Louisa Picaretta. Well, I don't believe that. I have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Oh, God bless you. You have the manifestation of the gifts. You don't have the gifts. See, what's coming through Louisa is so magnificent. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. Again, be little, be humble. If Jesus wants this, I want it. If Jesus says this, I believe it. When you say, well, I don't need Louisa because I possess the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I usually start singing when they walk into the room, holy, holy, holy. See, we haven't seen anything yet. I mean, this is, what does Jesus tell us? Get ready to see magnificent things. Continue your flight in the divine will. Watch what I'm going to show you. Long for this more than anything, and I will give it to you. But if you think you have it, you don't need this. And most people don't need this. It's like what Jesus said to the Pharisees. I didn't come for the self-righteous. I came for those who are sick. Those that need God. That's us. So Jesus says very clearly, this is so important. I have lost my place. which paragraph? Middle? Okay. Okay, sorry. I once I take my finger off the page, I have no. Okay, there's the veils. Alrighty. You know what I hear through my hearing is really bad. This is what I hear. Okay, thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm visual. I can't hear anything. It's really great when confession. What did you say? And I'm absolving you from all your sins. If you go to this year, it's bad. This year's okay. Okay. Just warning you. Okay. But you are absolved when you are absolved. Sometimes I just can't hear. Okay, so we begin Volume 15, 4:28-23. Okay. My daughter, do you think that living in the divine will is nothing? No, on the contrary. Living in the divine will is the all. It is the fulfillment of all human sanctities. It is the absolute dominion of oneself, of one's passions, of one's capital enemies. It is the complete triumph of God over the soul. Do you see what this is? Don't let anybody fool you that this is not everything. This is everything. I talked to one priest. He was 90 when I spoke to him. And he says, I've waited for this all my life. And here it is. He says, I'm 90. This is even before we got the newer volumes. Because, I mean, look at this in Volume 15. And he says, I've waited for this all my life. Now, we have it to redo everything for him and for everybody before him and everybody after him. Jesus says, do you think this is nothing? It is everything. It is the all. It is the fulfillment of all the human sanctities. It is the absolute dominion of oneself. It is of one's passions, of one's capital enemies. It is the complete triumph of God over the soul. God wins. This is the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This you have to understand. There's no reason to be worried anymore. There's no reason to be afraid anymore. There's no reason. Listen to what Jesus is saying. It is everything. So, if the soul adheres, I, God, come to letting her live in my divine will without her ever again wanting to know her own human will. I, God, have nothing left to want from the creature, and the creature has nothing left to give to me. All my yearnings are fulfilled. All my designs are realized. There is nothing left but delighting in each other. This is why Jesus says, when he was with his apostles, that heaven is like a wedding feast, delighting in each other for all eternity. This is why the first miracle, he made 150 gallons of wine after they finished the first 150. I mean, come on. He's saying, party hardy. This is what he's saying. I want you to have fun. Heaven, and I don't mean about getting drunk. It's God wants us to be happy. And that's why it says, as Scripture says, wine is given to God to make them happy, something like that. I can't remember. That's the other thing I'm losing. You know, there's three things that you lose when you get older. The first thing is your memory, and I forgot what the other two were. But anyways, you've heard that 100 times, but it's still good. Okay, 15, 5:23. My daughter Louisa, oh, how well your acts done in my divine will harmonize with God. This is beautiful music with God. Can you imagine? I mean, people study all their life to perfect their instrument that they're playing. And Jesus says, you're going to play with the angels? You're going to play with God for all eternity. Harmonizing with God. They harmonize with mine, with those of my beloved mother, Mary. And one disappears within the other, forming one single beautiful bit of music. Beautiful harmony. See, it's to dissolve in each other. It seems that heaven is on earth and earth is in heaven. The echo of one in three and the three in one of the sacrosanct Trinity. Oh, how sweet it sounds to our hearing and how it enraptures us, triune God, but so much as to capture our will from heaven to bring it to earth. So listen to what Jesus is saying. This is very important. Echoes of one in three of three in one. Okay? This is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with the reflection, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. It's to bring heaven to earth and earth to heaven. How? God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has wanted the reflection of the Trinity on earth under Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. I mean, this is why Jesus, Mary, and Louisa? Because he wants us to go back to him. So what is he doing? He's using three people. The Blessed Mother, who's human. Jesus, who's God-man. And Louisa, who's human. Born of original sin. It's to bring everybody back. He says to Louisa, I had to use you. Because if it was only my mother, he said, no one would believe that they could possibly ever live the life of Mary. But I chose you, Louisa, so that this will, you'll be braided. Your life, my mother's life, and my life will be braided together and will form one life. And when people are linked to you, they also possess this life. This is why don't ever do anything separate from Louisa. It's very, very important. When my fiat voluntasto has its fulfillment on earth as it is in heaven, then shall the complete fulfillment on the second part of the Our Father occur, and that is, give us this day our daily bread. I said, Our Father in the name of all, and I ask for three kinds of bread. Every day, the bread of your will, or more than bread, if the bread is necessary, two or three times a day, of one is necessary, each moment, and in all circumstances. Okay, so Jesus is saying, it's the first bread, the second bread, and the third bread. He says very, very clearly, even more, it must not only be bread, but like balsamic air that brings life, the circulation of the divine life in the soul. Father, if this bread of your will is not given, I shall never be able to receive all the fruits of my sacramental life, which is the second bread that we ask of you every day. Oh, how my sacramental life feels discomforted. Because the first bread of your divine will does not nourish them. On the contrary, it finds the corrupted bread of the human will. So Jesus is saying, see, this is what we're going to do after Thanksgiving, getting ready for the new liturgical year. we're going to beg God, we're going to plead with God to begin to live the first bread. And so what we're going to do, that's not completed yet. We sent out part one. Part two is right after Thanksgiving. And we're going to try every day, and it's not mandatory. And if your doctor says no, you can't. But we're going to fast. You have three meals a day. We're going to fast one meal every day on bread and water. So you have the spiritual communions that you can make all day. So it's not a spiritual communion, but it's like a spiritual communion. Number two, it's fasting, but it's like fasting because you can have, I mean, if you need a bagel, you can have a bagel. If you need two slices of bread, it's two slices of bread. No big deal. It's you're saying to Jesus, I want to be mindful of this first bread. And instead of having a full meal, I want this bread that I'm eating to remind me and to plead with you, Lord God, that we can begin to live on the first bread. And we're going to do this for the year. One meal a day, every day. And again, if you can't, it's no big deal. It's your intention. You can say to Jesus, I'm having this meal with a slice of bread. You know, it's to say to Jesus, I want to remember every day, even if I go to Holy Mass, I receive the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, and now at my meal, whether it's breakfast, whether it's lunch, whether it's dinner, either, you know, any one of those, I will have a piece of bread to remember. I want Jesus. I want to give up this meal so that I can have this first bread. I ask, I plead with you, I beg with you. So we'll send that out in a little bit. And it's not under the pain of sin. It's just all we're saying to Jesus is I want to remember. I want to be attentive to fasting. And I want to have this first bread. This is what Jesus is. I really believe Jesus is asking of this. And he needs us to cooperate. Okay, so it's again. Okay, what page are we on? Okay, thank you.
Oh,
first line. Oh, okay. I looked at the other sheet and I go, holy. Okay, so we want to say to Jesus, I don't want the corrupted bread of the human will anymore. I don't want to taste that anymore. And if we don't know what the corrupted bread of our human will is, this is what we say when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry for that. I don't want this corrupted bread of my human will any longer. That's why Jesus says your human will is your misery. He says, I want you to enter into feeding off of the divine will. So Jesus says, the human will, oh, how disgusting it is to me, how I shun it. And even though I go to them, I cannot give them the divine fruits, the divine goods, the divine effects, the divine sanctity, because I, God, do not find our first bread in them. And if I give something to a small portion according to this position, but not all of the divine goods of which I contain and my sacramental life, impatiently waiting for mankind to take the first bread of the supreme will in order to be able to give all the goods of all my sacramental life. See, Jesus says, wait till you see what's going to happen to the souls who receive the Holy Eucharist when the divine will reigns. You know, you receive the bread of heaven, you receive the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, and you're in communion with God for at least 15 minutes, whereas you should be adoring Him and praising Him and loving Him and glorifying Him and worshiping Him. That 15 minutes is so important to the church that as soon as you receive the final blessing, the final prayer, the final blessing, Mass ends. Why? To enter into communion. Silence is so important. To be silent with God. Now you can do, you know, other prayers, rote prayers. You can do devotional prayers. Jesus says, I want you to fall in love with me. Each one of us knows Jesus in our own unique way. Each one of us, in silence, we adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God. That's what he's waiting for. That's why Holy Mass ends. So that we can stay in communion with God for that 15 minutes until the host is dissolved. How glorious is this? This is just spectacular what God is doing. He says very clearly, see then how the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, and not only that once, but all the sacraments left in my Holy Church and instituted by me shall give all the fruits which they contain and complete fulfillment when our first bread, the will of God, is done on earth as it is in heaven. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. And see, the big surprise is when God's going to close the curtain and then he's going to open the curtain to the new surprise. But between the closing of the curtain and the opening of the curtain, the large majority of humanity will be gone. He can't give it to them. He won't give it to them because they do not want it. He won't force them to receive what he has planned for each soul from the beginning of time. So he comes to us and he says, do you want what I want? Do you want me to give you everything that I planned from the beginning of time? Do you want me to make you a divine masterpiece that I, God, have planned? That it will be, you'll be like nobody else on earth. Nobody will be able to compare to you of what I, God, am going to do. Think of the masterpieces of the museums. None of them are the same. Everyone is unique. Everyone has a beauty. And this is what God wants to do with us. He's going to close the curtain. That's why Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. You have to understand the time we're living in. And he's going to open the curtain. And it's heaven on earth. It's the new heavens and the new earth. It's the new Jerusalem. Everything is going to be new of God. This is what he's got planned. So he's saying to us, go to Louisa, focus on what I taught her, and produce 30, 60, or 100-fold. Produce what you want. I remember as a child, I couldn't understand, what is God, selfish that they only can produce 30%? What is God, selfish they only can produce 60%? No. God is generous. We're the ones that are selfish, self-centered, and we do not want what God wants. The more docile we are, the more we can produce. Fiat, let it be done as you say. Jesus says, get out of my way. He says to Louisa, let me do this. This is what Jesus is asking. Volume 15, 7, 11. 23. You must know. And when you see you must know, it's highlighted, italicized, because this is a command from Jesus. You must know this if you're going to live in the divine will. That's why the book You Must Know is so great. It's so important. It's every you must know in the entire 36 volumes. And then once you know that, go to the Be Attentive book. It teaches you how to do this. You don't need a person writing a book to tell you how to do this. Jesus tells you how to do this. Be attentive to this, and this will happen. Be attentive to that, and that will happen. So you must know is very, very important. That this fulfillment of my divine will is so great as to be numbered among the greatest works which the divinity has operated. The greatest works of God are found in the divine will. It's to begin to live in God's image and likeness. This is the greatest works. This is what Jesus has planned from the beginning of time for each and every one of us. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay, what we're going to do is anybody who wants to become a third order